John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. I told you in the beginning of the service, I want this to be an encouraging service for us. And this message lends itself to being an encouragement. And I believe each and every one of us need it. John chapter 14, and once you found it, let's all stand. John chapter number 14, and at this time we'll go ahead and dismiss our junior church with Brother Reyes. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I just want to read three verses with you here. I'm not anticipating this to be a long message. However, I use the word anticipate because sometimes you never know. John chapter 14, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Some of the most comforting words, I believe, that are in all the Bible. Jesus had the disciples. They were gathered around. They just partook of the Passover. You could just picture Jesus kind of sitting in the center of the table. There's the disciples all kind of gathered around. And they're just having a good time. The Bible talks about them singing. Who knows what they were singing? I doubt they were singing "And Can It Be," but maybe a song like that. And they're all gathered around, and maybe there was a part in the song that just had some power to it. And like that third verse, "I rose my dungeon flamed with light." And maybe all the guys kind of got together, kind of stomped their hands on the little table that's there as they were laying down. And "My chains fell off, my heart was free." You know, there was just some camaraderie going on there. And they began to eat, and Jesus began to tell stories, and he began to teach them on different things. And then, amidst all the laughing and amidst all the teaching and the singing, things got real serious. Here Jesus begins to foretell of separation. And as he's telling them that he's going to leave them, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Today's society, in almost every household, in almost every bedroom, every person's life, there are some sort of troubles. Today, I want to speak to us for a few moments on the cure for a troubled heart. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, I need you. I don't want to be alone up here. Holy Spirit, make the words of your book stand center stage. Use me as your tool this morning. Help me to be an encouragement to our people. In your blessed, most holy name, amen. You may be seated. You can imagine, and I've said it here before, but these disciples have spent nearly 3 years, their every waking moment with Jesus. They had gone from one city to the next. They've traveled to wildernesses. They've ran away from angry mobs. They've been in the middle of storms. They've seen some great victories. They've experienced feeding of 5,000 people there as they were sitting there thinking to themselves, how are we having so much food? As we're, this kid didn't have that much food in his bag. And they're sitting there and they partook of all these things. You imagine the quiet times as it's just maybe Jesus and one of the disciples as they're sitting there and talking. I think back of Brother Rivas at youth conference, and you know when most everyone's going to sleep, there's always that one that doesn't want to go to sleep. And there's that one that just talks and talks and talks and talks. I don't know who that is. Who was that? Who was that? But I remember being at youth conference, and I remember, Mark, you were there. I remember one night we stayed up till probably 3 in the morning. We were just sitting there talking. In the room, it was me, you, brother, Steve was there, Christian, Kyle, I don't know if you were there, I think you fell asleep. Kyle fell asleep in the most awkward way. he was half laying down, half sitting, kind of tilted to the side, but he was knocked out. I remember just sitting there. Quiet times, just sharing different things and ideas, and then someone would say a joke, and we'd end up joking around. I think those quiet times with Jesus too. Where someone would get alone with Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, can you explain to me how it was?" Really, you begin to knit your heart with these people. Now, Jesus is standing at a table with all his disciples, and it's anything but a quiet time. And in the midst of all their happiness, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." This morning, each of you are experiencing some sort of sorrow. For the disciples, you know what their worry was? Hearing that Jesus was going to leave? Who's going to be our teacher now? Who do we follow? Their worry was, who's going to protect us from the Pharisees? Some of you, you've got a burden, and your heart is troubled. Some of you, you wake up and your body begins to ache, and immediately the trouble hits you. Some of you, you look at your workload and you think, I don't know how I'm going to handle this, and the trouble begins to hit you. You look at your finances, and the trouble begins to hit you. You look at your marriage, your trouble is hitting you. You look at your kids, and the trouble is hitting you, and you're just troubled. But it's not something on the outside. It's affecting here. Some of the worst trouble in life hits you right here, where no one else can see it. How do we cure a troubled heart? says, let not your heart be troubled. He says in verse number 1, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Number 1, believe in God. I've only got 2 points. We're halfway done. Believe in God. You say, Pastor, that's so trite. That's so... You didn't need to preach a message on that, Pastor. What do I mean by believe in God? If you believe in something, you trust it, don't you? Do it, Tim, why don't you come on up? All right, Jewitson, we're going to do one of the trust exercises here. Right up here, right here. All right. Now, Jewitson, you think I'm strong enough to carry it? That was not very self-assuring. You think I can carry you? Yeah? All right, all right. Do you trust me? I should have picked Zeke. You trust me? Do you think I'd let you fall? No? You shouldn't trust me. Now, we know this. Some of you, you've had to go to those little work things where they try to build a camaraderie between your coworkers, and they say, we're going to do a trust exercise. And so you pair people up in twos, and I had to go to those dumb little meetings, and they pair you up in two, and they say, all right, you're going to now fall into the other person's hand. Well, no one ever let me fall. I always had to be the catcher. I don't know why. But here, I've got Jewitson. Jewitson, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to fall. Not right now. Wait, I'll tell you when. And I want you just to buckle your knees. Don't bend them. Just buckle them and just let yourself back. You think you can do that for me? Don't, no reserve. If you fall, you fall. All right? But I'll tell you this, if I let you fall, I'll give you a $20 bill. All right? You trust me now? Jewitson, fall back. Brother, you buckled your knees. Let's try this again. Here we go. Just fall back. I promise I'll catch you. There we go. Now, he knew I was strong enough to be able to hold his weight. I mean, I think he weighs about the same as my leg. So he understood I had the strength in me to catch him. He understood that I told him if I didn't catch him, I'd give him a $20 bill. And he knew that I wouldn't mess up the illustration because I'm in the middle of church. It would look bad if Pastor just let him fall. But when he fell the first time, did he just let himself go? No, he had a reserve, didn't he? He kind of truly trust someone who let reserve go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge, and he shall direct thy path. You see, belief is a lot more than just something you say, oh, I believe that. No, believe is trust. And trust means that we're willing to fall and we're willing to allow ourselves to be completely yielded to that. And God is saying, I want you to believe, trust in me. trust in him who will not fail you. The Bible says that trust God because all men are liars. Do you believe that? People naturally lie, don't they? We lie to save ourselves. We lie to make ourselves look better. We lie to cover things. We lie sometimes just for the sport of it. God says, that's not me. He says, believe me. George, you may be seated here. He says, believe in God. What do we need to believe? We need to believe, number one, his plan. Understand, God has a plan for your life. That song we just sang, page 312. Look at the lyrics to page 312. God never moves without purpose or plan. Every U-turn, every direction, every stop, every dead end that you faced was God moving you. God never moves without purpose or plan when trying his servant or what? Molding a man. You think Jesus understood that his disciples were going to be sad? Yeah. But he knew it would mold them into men that he would be. God has a plan. Trust his plan. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. If you turn there very briefly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. He says that the trial of your faith, God has a plan with every trial you go through, every difficulty you go through, every pain that you suffer, every heartache, every tear that you cry. God has a plan for it. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe, you trust in me. Trust in his plan, but not only that, trust in his power. Look at verse 11 and 12. He says this, believe me that I am in the Father. This is John chapter 14, verse 11 and 12 here. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. He says this, very, verily, verily. What does that mean? Truly, truly. I'm speaking the truth here. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And here's our theme for 2014. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Why shall we do greater works? Because I go unto my Father. How does he go to his Father? What transpires to allow Jesus Christ to go to his Father? But still, he's dead. What transpires for him to go to the Father? Up from the grave he arose. Jesus had to rise. In the church of Corinth, they were having a little issue with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some said that Jesus didn't rise. Others said he did rise. And there was a big battle between it. And Paul, he wanted to admonish him. He wanted to teach him something. And he said, look, had Jesus Christ not risen, we'd be the most miserable people of all. Because we worship a God there's no power in. And then he says a few verses later, he says, and he puts all things under his feet. see, where's the Father? Up above. Jesus went from down below in the grave, and he rose from the grave, and now he's up by the Father in heaven, and everything, all of our problems, all of our worries, all of our anxiety, all of our difficulty, all of our struggle, all of our tears, all of our loneliness is beneath his feet. Psalmist said that he set my feet upon a rock. Why did he set my feet on a rock? Excuse me, I know I'm doing this in church, so I can rise above it. You ever been, when you were in elementary school, did you ever play the hot lava game? Where I can't touch the hot lava, and so you jump off of different things because the ground was hot lava. Well, let me tell you what, Jesus Christ, he's setting us up. The psalm said it this morning in Psalm 63. He holdeth me up with his right hand. He's keeping me away from every trouble, every difficulty, every trial of life. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because my God has all power, all praise. He's worthy of it all. He can take care of me. Trust in his plan. Trust in his power. But not only that, trust in his promise. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father. He shall give you another what? Comforter. The Comforter is come. The Comforter is come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. He's going to send us a Comforter. Jesus is leaving, but because he's leaving, he says, I'm not going to leave you lonely. In fact, I said this, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so I'm going to give you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but look at, if we go back to verse number two. Look what it says there. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm telling you the truth. My Father, he's got some pretty good real estate. Oh man, forget Boardwalk Avenue and all these other places you can get off Monopoly. Forget 90210. They don't compare. Forget the retirement area, Boca Raton in Florida. They got nothing on my Father's house. Forget about Hawaii. Hawaii's beautiful, but it just doesn't compare. Oh, forget about Tahiti. Oh, Tahiti might be a tropics, and it might be beautiful, but oh, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And he says, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. We got a promise in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We have a promise in heaven. You understand, heaven is not the end of something. Heaven is not, it's not where we're just going to be floating around with harps. We're going to live. And we're going to live abundantly. Do you really think Jesus Christ is going to prepare us a mansion so all we can do all day is sit there and strum Amazing Grace all day long? No. God wants us to live in joy. He's going to, everything that he planned in Eden, all the beauty that was there, all the joy as the animals, the lion would lay next to the lamb, and the beauty that was there, that's going to be for us in heaven. But you know what's great about heaven? Revelation chapter 21 says this. He shall wipe. Fairy tale. over some things. But I tell you what, it doesn't get any worse than this. So how do we cure a troubled heart? Give me 2 minutes. We believe in God, but lastly, remember He's coming back. Look at verse number 3. He says, and if I go. That's not if, like, I'm not sure if I'm really going. That's if I go for you. By the way, let me tell you something. If you don't trust God, He's not going for you. And He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You know, I think as Christians, we kind of get played out with the thing that Jesus Christ is coming again. We sing it in Sunday school. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening. And what we do is we sing, and we'll be soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. But you know, for most Christians, I don't really want to come back. In the Jewish culture, what would happen is the man would get engaged with the woman. And after he'd get engaged, they'd announce the engagement, and that man would leave. Why would he leave? That man would go to build a home. He'd go and prepare his place. He'd make it sure that his wife, when she comes home, it's her home. Some it will take 2 months, some it will take almost a year. Can you imagine being a woman in love and I can't wait, is he coming back today? Oh, is he coming back today? And no, not today. Oh well, tomorrow morning you wake up, is he coming back today? Is he coming back today? That woman ever stops caring if he comes back? I love her. Every day she wakes up. Maybe today. Maybe today. Why is she so desperate? Relationship that she has with her fiance, if you will. And because of that, she's always waiting. So let me ask you, are you waiting for him? Do you get up in the morning and say, oh, maybe Jesus Christ is coming back today? Pastor, that you can't even link the two together. I can, because the Bible says we are the bride of Christ. You say, Pastor, how can I ever love God like I love this person? I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. Believe in God. Trust in him who will not be, the song says. And he says, remember, I'm coming back. He uses this word. I like this. I'm done. I'll close it. But he says this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What a reunion that would be. How do you cure a troubled heart? Believe in God. He's good. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a power for your life. He's got a promise for your life. Not only that, remember, he's coming back. And he's coming back so he can receive you. Look what he says here at the end. Where I am, there you may be also. Hey, we've been too long without